from The Intercept, the Supreme Court ends multiracial democracy as we know it. The U.S. Supreme Court dealt a fatal blow to the Voting Rights Act, triggering a new wave of redistricting fights in the midst of midterm primary elections. Last week, the court struck down a Louisiana congressional map with a second majority black district. The decision requires there to be evidence of intentional racism to prove that a map is discriminatory, making it nearly impossible to successfully challenge racial gerrymandering. Tennessee GOP leaders also convened a special session to eliminate the last remaining Democratic stronghold in the state, home to Memphis, a majority black city and district. The new map would split Memphis into three districts and further split Nashville and the surrounding counties into five districts. Following the 6-3 decision along partisan lines, Louisiana suspended its already active congressional primary, throwing out cast ballots. Alabama's Republican governor took steps to gerrymander her state's maps ahead of November elections. On Thursday, Tennessee Goff Lee signed a bill that repealed a state law prohibiting mid-decade redistricting, and the new map was passed by Tennessee Republicans. The primary goal, State Rep. Justin J. Pearson tells The Intercept briefing, is to dilute black political voting power and representation, and it's starting at the U.S. congressional level. The Democratic Tennessee State Representative for Memphis is running for U.S. We have over 200 legislative seats in the House and the Senate that are also likely to be eliminated through racist redistricting that is happening. Voting rights journalist and author Ari Berman says SCOTUS's latest blow to voters' rights is a power grab. This week on the podcast, Berman and P. Arson speak to host Jessica Washington about how the latest Supreme Court decision bolsters President Donald Trump and Republicans' aims to take control of voting in the country. Congress in the district at the heart of the state's redistricting fight. When you look across the South, the truth is about at least a dozen seats are likely to be taken in this very racist redistricting era that we are in. But it won't stop there, Pearson says. This is part of a larger conservative counter-revolution against the civil rights movement of the 1960s. Berman says that this ruling could bring us back to the dark days before the Voting Rights Act made the United States a multiracial democracy. Now you look at what's going to happen in these places, in places like Tennessee, in places like Louisiana, Alabama, Mississippi. This is now the third major decision by the Roberts Court gutting the Voting Rights Act, says Berman. You can't understand this latest attack on the Voting Rights Act unless you understand the attacks that came before it, and how this is part of a pattern. If they eliminate all of their black members of Congress, that's going to make politics a white-only game. If politics is a white-only game, that's going to mean that white supremacy in some form or another is going to be the dominant politics in those states. It's already the dominant politics in lots of these states, but it's going to become much more explicit in terms of how it's expressed. Pearson says that the Supreme Court's assertion that these protections are no longer necessary is a lie. The hatred that hung us on lynching trees did not disappear. It dissipated into institutions of power, into state houses, into governor's mansions, into the U.S. Senate, into the U.S. House, into the presidency of the United States, says Pearson. Everybody has to do more than they are currently doing in this moment in time in order for us to preserve this modicum of a democratic constitutional republic. Because what is likely to happen is the most significant purging of black political power and elected black leaders since the end of Reconstruction. The litmus test for America's progress is not Massachusetts, New York, and California, says Pearson. The litmus test for America's progress is what happens in the South, where 50% of black African American descendants of enslaved people live. For more, listen to the full conversation of The Intercept briefing on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, or wherever you listen. Jessica Washington, welcome to The Intercept Briefing. I'm Jessica Washington, politics reporter at The Intercept. Maya Hibbett, and I'm Maya Hibbett, managing editor of The Intercept. JW, midterms are heating up this week, and Maya, on top of being my editor, you also manage our election coverage. So, what's sticking out with you this week, MH? This was a really weird week because we're coming off some primaries where the most watched races in the country were actually a set of state senate races in Indiana. And that's weird because most people don't even know who their state senator is. It's very rare to be focused on state legislative elections as the top race. But this one was seen as a huge test for Trump because essentially he was on this revenge path where a handful of Indiana state senators, Republicans, part of his party, had defied the president when he wanted them to redistrict the state. So he said, "I'm gonna primary you, and I'm gonna kick you out of office for not doing what I wanted." In all but one or maybe two of those cases, the people that Trump backed saw the challengers taking out the incumbents won. So it looks like, if that was a test of Trump's power in his base, at least in Indiana, at least there, it looks pretty good for him on that front. JW, Trump has really set off this redistricting war that's happening across the country. There was this idea that Donald Trump was going to be weakened by the war in Iran, by the economy. The fact that we're also seeing redistricting, which generally makes people really angry, also doesn't seem to be weakening Trump. That sets the stage for something really interesting in the midterms. MH, it's a really interesting question because I think it gets at the constant tension in politics between the politician's identity and the issues. So on the issues, the conventional wisdom right now is that Trump and the Republicans look really weak going into the midterms, right? People don't love it when you're running on lowering the cost of living and not starting new wars, and then you start a new war and spike the cost of living. But it is still, in my view, a cult of personality around Trump in the Republican Party, and it seems like he still holds a ton of sway over what the Republican base thinks. That's really interesting if we think ahead, not just to the midterms, but to 2028, which unfortunately we're already thinking about, because even if Democrats have a stronger footing perhaps on a lot of these popular issues right now, they don't have that figurehead. JW, Republicans have been unleashed by the Supreme Court ruling striking down Louisiana's congressional map with a second majority black district. The ruling also required there to be evidence of intentional racial discrimination to prove that a congressional map is discriminatory. Obviously, we know that there's going to be many new redistricting efforts as a result of this ruling, and we're going to get into the ruling itself a little later in the episode. But Maya, where are we seeing pushes from Republicans to reshape the map? MH, right now, this is according to the AP, as of Thursday, there are four states that are still in flux. Louisiana, as you mentioned, there's also Alabama, South Carolina, and Tennessee. This is such an interesting issue because gerrymandering to help your party get seats or keep seats is frankly anti-democratic in the simplest, most literal possible sense of the word. You're taking some of the power of choice away from the people. But it also puts politicians in a really weird bind, because if one party's doing it, how is the other party supposed to not? JW, yeah, as you point out, there's been a lot of news on that front. On Wednesday,